Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, June the 15th. Well, here we are, the middle of June, and in a couple of weeks, it'll be the middle of 2021. And did anybody tell you that we have an election coming up in 3 years? I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, the older we get, the quicker these elections come. Have you noticed that? I mean, does it seem like it was only yesterday that Barack Obama was elected president, or George W. Bush? I mean, it's just remarkable how fast all of this is going. Well, a couple of big stories today. I want to talk about President Trump and President Biden, I should say, in Europe. But I want to begin, I have a post over at the American Thinker this morning, Tuesday, talking about what is happening in school boards across the country. It is the most fascinating story, I think, that I've seen in quite some time. In fact, I have to go back to the Tea Party in 2009, 2010 to see something similar to this, because it's national and it's happening, you know, it's not requiring a lot of planning. It's spontaneous. And you're seeing it in so many places. As you may remember, the Tea Party back in 2009, 2010, one of the things that was very spectacular about the Tea Party was the number of mothers and children that you would see at the rallies. You would go to these rallies and you see families, mom and dad, and very often, especially if it was during the day when dad was working or traveling or whatever, you would see the moms out there with the kids. And, you know, when they would interview mothers, their whole attitude was, hey, I'm trying to preserve the future here for my kids. I'm trying to make sure that my kids have an opportunity in the future. Well, now we're seeing something where the mothers are once again in the middle of a movement, slightly different reason, though. What's happening here is the school boards. And many mothers, one of the consequences of the pandemic is that the parents, because they were home, in many cases, if you had working parents, they were both at home working, and the kids were doing their schoolwork. And as always happens, and it's just a fact of life, very often the mother helps the kids do their homework. And these parents were looking at what their kids were learning, and they were looking at each other and saying, wait a minute, is this what they're teaching you about the United States? Is this what they're teaching you about American history? And I think a lot of parents just got fed up with this and said, you know, we're paying taxes for this, and they're sitting here indoctrinating our kids and getting our kids to hate the country. No way. That's not going to happen. So the mothers started showing up at the different school board meetings, and this is unbelievable. And you've seen some of these mothers, for example, the Chinese-American lady who went to wherever it was, the school board, it doesn't matter, wherever it was. And this lady gave this recollection of what happened in China back in 66, 67, when they had what they called the Cultural Revolution, which is one of the methods that Mao used to basically erase Chinese history. Basically, they rewrote Chinese history to comply with everything that Mao believed. It was like nothing had happened in China before Mao, and everything that the kids were being taught was that the revolution and Mao and this is it, and everything else was evil. And they literally destroyed the country. They had people out in the streets burning books, burning, I mean, they were threatening each other. If you stood in the way, they killed you. That simple. And this lady was recollecting all of that, saying, my gosh, look what they did to my country. Look what we did to each other in the name of rewriting history and political correctness and all of that. Then there was another African-American lady, very eloquent lady, who got up and said, no, you know, it's not right to teach our kids what we're teaching them about race. It's not right to single-handedly say that every white person is racist or that every white person is to blame for everything. All we're doing is getting the kids to hate each other more. And this was just absolutely incredible to watch these moms at these school board meetings. And the moms are just doing a fantastic job, because if you look across the country, critical race theory is going down just about everywhere. We here in Texas have made it illegal to teach critical race theory. In Florida, the same. There's a bunch of states in the South primarily and in the middle of the country who are doing the same thing. And they're simply saying, you're not going to teach that to our kids. Now, I think what happened, as I mentioned before, the pandemic made it possible for many of these parents to actually see what their kids were learning, no question about it. But I also think there was another factor here. The teachers' union simply did not respect the parents. That's another big problem that we're seeing. During the pandemic, the teachers' union put its own interest ahead of the kids. And the parents resent that with good reason. I mean, you had schools, public schools in parts of the country that did not open for whatever reason, I don't know. We, here in Texas, our schools were open last August, and they were open for the whole year. Now, there were all kinds of regulations and, you know, distances and all of that. And at the beginning, parents were given the option of actually having their kids at home if they didn't want to send them to school. But at least the overwhelming majority of the kids were going to school, and eventually most of them did, because I think the parents would rather have the kids in school than, you know, at home in front of a computer. And in many other places, that also happened, but not in many of these cities run by the Democrat Party, where basically the teachers' union was running the show. And I think the parents are fed up with it, just fed up with it. And this is all a big part of this movement. And these moms are just doing a fantastic job. And these moms, this whole movement is going to do something else too. And they're going to be a big part of the upcoming 2022 congressional elections. Because all this energy, all of this movement is going to be focused at state races, at local races, and certainly in terms of the Congress in many of these states. So I think these ladies are doing something phenomenal, very similar to what the Tea Party did back in 2010, when the Tea Party literally elected something like 60 Republicans in the House that year. And it was a huge day for the Republicans and eventually the Senate as well for the Republicans. So I believe that 2022, these ladies who are out there, these moms, are going to be a big factor of what happens in 2022, when I sincerely believe that you're going to see a turnover of the Congress, and a lot of it is going to be because of these moms and because of these ladies. They're doing a great job, ladies. Keep it up. You're absolutely great. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. You know, the other big story, of course, is President Biden in Europe. Look, I'm going to be fair to President Biden, and I'm going to stand back for a second. I'm not cutting him any slack, but I'm going to stand back for a second and be realistic about this. These meetings usually don't amount to anything. There's not much consequential that happens at these meetings. So what usually happens is that there's a communique and they say this and there are photographs, maybe a press conference, but then everybody has to go home. And at this point, the problem is that a lot of the leaders at that press conference, whether it's Canada, whether it's France, whether it's Germany, and so on, many of these leaders are going back to countries that have problems. And the problems didn't go away because they sat down with President Biden. The problems are still there, so they're going to have to go back to the countries and deal with their own problems. So, you know, that's the reality of this thing. So I'm not expecting any big changes coming from these meetings. You know, I think President Biden and Premier Putin, I guess, will get together. They will have their little meeting or whatever. They will both come out saying that, you know, they're going to be tough with each other. But I think the proof is in the pudding, as someone used to say. And let's see what happens when President Putin will do something or will test President Biden. And that's when we're really going to learn whether or not there was, this thing was consequential or not. The other big thing, too, is that to me, I'm a lot more concerned about China, frankly, than Russia. I'm not saying that Russia should be discarded. No, I didn't mean that. But I'm a lot more concerned about China because of the virus and because of Taiwan and because of Hong Kong and because they've got ships in the Pacific Ocean. I mean, they've got ships everywhere, and they're building a huge military. So they got something in their heads when they're building a military and a naval force of the size that they are building. They actually have something that they're planning, and they're certainly building enough ships to be a power, a superpower around the world. You know, if you want to be an international superpower, you have to have a marine or you have to have a navy, and the Chinese are doing a very good job of building a tremendous navy. So I'm a lot more concerned about China long term. I think Russia is always going to be a pest. And, yeah, they can go into Ukraine. I don't think they will, because the Ukraine people are going to give them a hell of a fight. But anyway, that could happen. But I'm a lot more concerned about China, and especially the role that China may or may not have had with this virus. I'm very skeptical of China when it comes to this virus. I believe anything about China when it comes to this virus. I'm not saying that that they did it intentionally. But something went on. Something went on in that lab that I think we need to be very skeptical about. And that's what I would like to see the Biden administration focus on. Just what exactly did China do? And why was China so so deceiving why was there such a lack of transparency, I guess? That's what I'm trying to say, in the way China explained all of this a year ago. I mean, the fact is that China lied to the world about what happened. Whether it happened accidentally or whether it happened intentionally, they didn't tell us the truth. And there's 600,000 Americans who are dead, and God knows how many others in other countries. And I think we owe to their families at least an explanation of what in the heck the Chinese were doing. So I'm a lot more worried about that, frankly, than I am about the European countries at this time. Well, just a little bit of news from the television screen. It looks like Fox News and Tucker Carlson are just kicking everybody over on the television set. I don't watch Tucker that much. I know he's very good, but frankly, a lot of times I just don't have time to watch him. But he's apparently setting the world on fire. I mean, he's number one in the ratings. And CNN and MSNBC, they are tanking. I mean, I don't know how much longer they're going to be able to stay on the air. Now, I think that at some point, somebody in those organizations is going to say, you know, if we put something else on the air, we should be able to get more of an audience than we're getting now. And at the end of the day, television is a money business. You got to make money. And CNN right now, they're averaging about 700,000 people an hour. In a country of 330 million people, and they're averaging about 700,000 an hour. I just saw the story. I mean, it's pretty pathetic. That's very pathetic. I don't know what else to tell you except that. So I wouldn't be surprised if CNN, maybe they won't go off the air, but they're going to look very different, I believe, in the next 6 months. I think somebody over there has got to realize that that ship is sinking, and sinking very fast. And that they basically need to do away with everything. I mean, they basically have to redo. It's like a makeover. They've got to do the whole thing all over again and just change the people and change the names and become whatever they become. But they shouldn't look like the network that they are right now, because they are failing and failing miserably. On this day in history, a quick remembrance here of our friend Harry Nilsson. One of my favorite songwriters, as well as performers, Everybody's Talking, Without You, and a bunch of other big hits that he had. I loved his voice, and I loved his style. Me and My Arrow, that was the other song that he had. I just loved him. I thought he was absolutely incredible. And one of the great things about him was the way he would mix very good lyrics with some very good melodies. So Harry Nilsson, born on this day in 1941. He passed away in 1994, 53 years old when he passed away. Very young man. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.